water over her soapy body. By the time she had finished, she was shivering, but vigorous toweling warmed her again. She looked at her clothes and wished she had not put her spare shirt in the offering basin. Her clothes were as dirty as she had been. She looked at the brown robe, then took it off the peg. It felt soft and warm. When she came from the jacks, she looked at her clothes again. She wondered if she could wash them in the channel, but decided against it. She needed hot water and a pot. She shook them hard, brushed them with her hand, and folded them into a bundle. She slipped her bare feet back into her worn boots and went up the steps, down the passage, and into the main room. The Kwakin had lit more candles before he left, and the room had a warm glow. He had drawn shutters across the windows. She was glad of that. She sat down at the table to wait, wondering how long he would be. She thought of where she'd expected to be this night, alone in the hills, perhaps to see no dawn, and shivered, looking around her quickly. This was pleasant. The soft robe on her shoulders, the good meal. Why didn't I ever... I could have bought mushrooms at least once. She pushed these thoughts away. She wondered where the Kwakin was, and if he'd bought the meal with her offering, and most of all, what was he going to do? She thought she should be afraid, but she wasn't. She eased into sleep without knowing it, leaning on the table. She never knew when he came in. When she woke again, she was wrapped in a green blanket and lying on the floor against the wall. The windows were unshuttered, and sunlight struck the tree trunks outside. She felt completely relaxed and wide awake at the same time. Her stomach rumbled. She was just unwrapping the blanket when the door opened, letting in a shaft of sunlight.
"Time for breakfast," said the Kwakin as he came in.
He carried a dripping honeycomb over a bowl. Pox felt her mouth water. She climbed out of the blanket, folded it, and came to the table where he was laying out cheese, bread, and the honeycomb.
"You won't have had this honey before," he said. "It's yellowwood honey, an early spring honey, and they never make much of it."
He glanced at her and smiled.
"You slept well."
Pox found herself smiling in return. "Yes, yes, sir, I did." She sat down.
"Here," he said, pouring from the jug. "It's goat's milk. Put some honey in your mug with it."
Pox broke off a piece of comb and floated it in the milk. He sliced the cheese and pushed some towards her. She sipped the milk. It was delicious. The honey had a tang to it as well as sweetness. The Kwakin dripped some on his cheese. Pox did the same, and had soon eaten half a cheese, each slice dripping honey. Bees flew in the window and settled on the remains of the comb.
"No, little sisters," said the Kwakin. "We have need of this."
He hummed briefly, and the bees flew away. Pox stared at him. He smiled.
"Do you really talk to bees?" she asked.
"Not talk, exactly. It's more like singing. They're a musical folk. They dance, too. Did you know that?"
Pox shook her head, wondering if he was teasing.
"It's quite true. I'll show you someday."
"Can you speak with all the animals? Those birds yesterday and bees?"
"It's a Kwakin's craft, to learn the nature of all creatures. Trees and grass, as well as birds, beasts, and bees. When you know what something is, what its nature is, how it fits into the web of life, you can then begin to speak its language. It's a slow craft. Living things